You're listening to the PMO Strategies Podcast, where PMO leaders become impact drivers. This is episode 250. Well, hey there, impact driver. Welcome to the PMO Strategies Podcast. I am your host, Laura Bernard. Do you have people in your organization running projects that are not professional project managers? Do your executives, all the way through to the people on the project teams, really understand the roles on a project and how to play their role so that the project is successful? I'm guessing you're like me, and everywhere we go, we see that people don't always have the title of project manager, or we have some newbies into the sponsor world. And by the way, sponsors are made, not born. So it's really helpful if you can tell them how to be successful and the different roles they play. So with me today is my very, very dear friend on a very special episode number 250 with me to talk about her new book. We have been book buddies on this journey for a long time. And by the way, she wrote her book a lot faster than I wrote mine. But my friend Dawn Mahan is here with me today to talk about her upcoming book, Meet the Players in Project Land, Decide the Right Project Roles, and Get People on Board. Now, Dawn is an award-winning consultant, sought-after international speaker, C-suite advisor, inventor of Project Flow, founder of PMOtraining.com, which I'm totally jealous of, and she coined the term Project Land. And not only that, but she's also one of my closest friends, and we have a funny story about how we met, which we might share with you in a moment. Now, she's trained thousands of professionals around the world, and her work in preparing young professionals in the Year Up program for internships at major companies has been featured in Morningstar, Yahoo Finance, and others. So with all that said, Dawn, I am just so proud of you with this book that's coming out. I cannot wait to help you get it into people's hands. It's so much fun and had me rolling on the floor laughing because it was just like all of these different characters that we put together and the stories you tell are just, it's just so you. And I just love it so much. So Dawn, thank you for being here. And I can't wait to share about this book with our audience.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura. Thank you for your incredible support from the beginning to the end. Thank you for sending me AJ Harper's Write a Must Read book.
Oh,
that was
so
the
good.
Kick in the pants I needed to get it going. So you've been with me from the beginning, and I just really, really appreciate it. So thank you for all of that and having me today.
Oh, absolutely. And there's something that some people may not know about the two of us. One, we have a fun story about how we met, which was through our friend Mark Price Perry. And he, like, how did he put it?
He's like, you two need to meet.
Yeah, we're both in South Florida and we both have cool PMO and project management training companies and coaching and consulting. And I think when we met, it was just like love at first sight. I just adored everything about you. And I've had so much fun getting to know you and spending time together and soon to be house hunting together in the Florida, is the little bit more north Florida area for you. So we're going to be, we'll have to have you back on the podcast and talk about some other things as well. But I thought it was really cool. I want to thank you. Shout out to Mark Price Perry for introducing us because it's been so much fun to get to work together and work on cool projects together. And of course, thank you for all of your hard work on my book, which we can talk about another episode. Anything else that you'd like to share that this audience may not know about you?
Okay. So now most people probably know you're a baseball mom.
But probably.
Maybe people don't know that I am also a baseball fan. And in fact, spending 20 years in Philadelphia, I was at the Philadelphia Phillies Stadium every chance I got. So when I got my first endorsement, it's so far the most amazing endorsement, but the first endorsement for the book was from baseball Hall of Fame manager legend himself, Whitey Herzog. I was beside myself.
Oh my gosh, so cool. How did that happen?
So Jerry Manis, our friend, right?
Yes.
He's spoken at your Impact Summit as well. And so he was at an event where Whitey was speaking. And he has been helping me too on the journey because he also edits and he's just a wonderful accountability buddy. So he's editing my book and he was like, Dawn, I took notes when he was at this. We should have been there. I wish you were there. He's like, but I took these notes and he takes great notes. So I'm going to read you what he sent me that Whitey said at the summit because it's precious, right? So he said somebody asked Whitey what he thought of all the analytics in baseball today. Because there are so many stats, right?
So many.
And so, you know, the whole thing about AI and blah, 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 right? So he's like, Whitey, what do you think about the analytics in baseball? And his answer was really interesting. And Jerry and I talked about how it applies to project and resource management too. So here's what he said. Information is always great to have, but today they go overboard. A baseball manager typically gets a sheet from the GM when he enters the ballpark that shows what the day's lineup will be based on analytics. As a manager, nobody, not even a computer, is going to tell me what my lineup is. Analytics isn't going to know whether Mickey Mantle shouldn't play because he has a hangover. If they use the analytics, Ozzie Smith, who was short, never would have made it into baseball. Analytics should be used as informational input only. And then it's up to the manager to use that or not use it as he or she sees fit. It's a tool, period. Isn't that awesome? So Jerry and I were geeking out, freaking out.
Yeah. And
Jerry, I think Whitey is like the perfect person to give us an endorsement for this book. I'm like, can we swing for the fences? He's like, why not? So he goes, let's swing for the fences. So he asked if Whitey would give us an endorsement, and he did. And I couldn't believe it. I fell off my chair and I was just like so grateful. And it's so cool. So it's going to be on the back of the book at the top. And he said the first most important job that a manager has is fielding the right team. The intent of this book is to help project leaders do just that.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to cry, Dawn. You didn't read that part to me before. That's so cool.
Right.
Wow. Oh my gosh. And you all can't see it, but Dawn is like, So my eyes are like watering and Dawn's like got an ear to ear smile right now. So excited. So that's just so cool. That is so cool. Oh my gosh. Okay. So with all of that said, we got to dive into actually what this book is about and how it helps people and, you know, give some people some things to think about because this book is for who exactly? So let's talk about first, is this for PMO people, for project people, for, you know, executives? Like, who's the book actually for?
Yeah, so it's for all project people.
Okay.
And I know we have a community of impact drivers here.
Of course.
So one way that our impact driver community and how I'm going to use the book as an impact driver as well is by sharing this and the concepts with folks who are newbies.
Yeah.
And they may not think they're newbies. And, you know, I mean, I've had people who are in their, you know, 50s in my classes, right? I've had people say, you know, gee, Dawn, I wish I had learned this 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. So the concepts are simple. They're in, like you said, there are stories. They're fun. They're easy. It's an easy read. It was meant to be that way. Because anytime somebody slaps the pin block down on somebody's desk, they like glaze over and freak out and run the other direction. So
yeah.
The deal with this book was to make it accessible and easy, you know, to understand. So as an impact driver, you know, this is one of the books that's actually for all project people so that they can understand their role, how to be successful in it, and what to expect from everyone else. And I find that there are very few books that give people the role-based descriptions and matter that they need to understand how to be a good player in what I like to call project land.
Wow, so good. Okay, so this is great. And having read it, I found that this was like something I want to have all of our PMO people read so they can use common language to help everyone understand their role. So if you're a PMO leader, strategy delivery leader, transformation leader, any change leader, change happens through projects. And so no matter if you're, you know, doing product management or agile or whatever, you know, whatever you're doing, if you are driving change in an organization, you are part of the project process. And most people that are on projects don't have project management training or project experience. It's the first time for so many people. And even, you know, our client that we get to work with together, Don Joel, my favorite CEO, shout out to Joel. He always tells the story and has for like years about how he was not a great sponsor the first time he was asked to be a sponsor on a project. He didn't know and nobody told him. And so here he is with a project manager and PMO leader, and they're like telling him stuff. He's like, okay, thanks for letting me know, not realizing there was something different he was supposed to do. And I love that he tells that story because it helps people on the projects understand, look, we're all here to learn this together because we're not born this way. You're not born as a project manager. You might kind of sort of have Gantt charts running in your head like I do, but you're not born with those skills if you weren't really trained for it, or it's not like your full-time profession. So it's really important that people understand all of these different roles in this place that you call Project Land, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I just love him because he's so humble and he's so cool. And I just think he's like my Bon Jovi. When I see him and meet him, I'm like, it feels like a rock star, like I'm meeting a rock star. He's just so cool. So I love that he says that because, you know, it is so true. And I and you both have had to coach sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime, I mean, if our impact drivers came up through the ranks of project management, I'm sure they had sponsors that were terrible and they had sponsors that were good. And
right. The
sponsors that were terrible were ones that just didn't know any better. Usually they don't mean to do evil things. Right. You just don't know any better. And then you have to put them, you know, in the office and be like, do you know what you just did?
Yeah.
Now I have to go. Now I have to go clean this mess up. And it's terrible. So this is why, you know, in fact, I've sent the sponsor chapter to some sponsors.
Oh, great.
Yes. That I was coaching. And I said, hey, just let me know what you think. And one of them said, you know, this is so helpful because I never heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one told me. And it's such a shame, isn't it? You know, no one told me what's expected of me as a sponsor. And she wants to do a good job. She has a big heart. She loves her people. She believes in the project. And she wants to do a great job. And no one told her, right? It's so sad. So this is why I wrote, you know, for all the players, including the steering team. And how sponsors can figure out if they even need a steering team. I find in the beginning of projects, most people foul this up.
I'm already thinking of several clients we need to, you know, well, you know, Dawn, I suck you into everything you let me as far as working with our clients because I love you so much. And it's you have such a way with, you know, teaching people their roles and everything. But I've already, as you were talking, I was like, oh, I've got this client I need to buy the book for and like bring it to the next time I go see him. And I have this client that could really benefit from this. So anyway, we'll have to talk about that later. It's just, you're so spot on with that. And we've had the luxury of working together with clients where we teach them the roles and teach them how all this works together. And once people understand, you're right, they have big hearts. They want to do the right thing. Everyone wants to feel valuable and appreciated and like they're having an impact. And so this is a really great way to introduce people to Project Land and help them understand the role that they play. So can we talk a little bit about this term you coined called Project Land and why you call it Project Land and what it really means?
Yeah, please. Because a lot of times people are like, Project Land, what's that?
Yeah. You're in it, baby.
Yeah, and I get a little judgy about it. It just happened to me last week, which was pretty funny. And then by the end of the talk, the discussion, she was like, okay, you can keep Project Land in the speaking engagement. So where it came from is kind of funny because this is like my life, you know.
Okay.
I was an accidental project manager. I stumble into stuff all the time. And so after years of trying to explain to colleagues, clients, my mom, you know, my projects are different, I finally stumbled and landed on the answer in one word when I blurted it out during a practical project management training. And I only knew I found the answer about a week after the training when I returned to the client's office. I was walking down the hall. I was all up in my head, so I wasn't listening to the gentlemen that were in the hall talking until one of them had said, remember, it's different. It's Project Land.
Oh.
Like, wait, what? Wait, what did you just say? Because these two were in my class. And, you know, you're walking by. I just sort of waved. I was all up in my head because I was had to talk to their boss. And they were like, yeah, that, you know, that was really helpful.
Yeah. Oh,
and I thought, wow, okay, this is interesting. So I started to test that on audiences and clients for years.
Sure.
And then when I started writing a book, I got my book insider VIPs together. So people like me that just love, love, love books.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they got on the inside and I said, guys, what do I do with this word? Do I hyphenate it? Do I, you know, how do I write it? And they were very clear with me. It was so cool. They were like, yes, they did a Laura, yes, and right. They did. Uh-huh. Yes. We want it to be all one word and capitalized like Philadelphia. Because wow. We want it to be a place. Because when it sounds like a place and looks like a place, people get the image and the idea that it is a real place, that Project Land is different and it has different roles and rules. So that's where it came from.
That is so cool. I can't believe I've never even talked to you about that. That's a really cool background story. And I think it's really helpful because it helps people get out of their day-to-day of the operations, the keeping the lights on, their day-to-day stuff, and lets them acknowledge that they have to switch gears and think differently about what they're doing now. And then, okay, I can't just do things like, you know, fly by the seat of my pants. I can't just, you know, like have my running task list. It has to be coordinated with other people and I got to communicate about, you know, so many things. So, you know, it's all in the book. They need to go get the book, which we'll talk about how to get to in a minute. But I think that's really important because it is different. And this helps to create a fun way to think about the differentiation and what that means for people. So I love it. I love it. Okay. So I got another question for you.
Yes.
So in the first chapter, you talk about some reasons for project failure related to the people side of projects. And I feel like our impact drivers listening might find this section useful to back up their requests for the right level of engagement and support by project leadership, beyond the sponsors. I would love it if you could just, because I got chills when I read this part of the book. So I'm wondering if you could read a little excerpt about that section. Would that be okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we are reading the manuscript, which is, you know, not out yet as we're recording before it comes out. So there could be some changes. So I'm sure my editor would want me to say that, but we're pretty close. So here we go. Did you know that most projects fail? They cost too much, take too long. The thing doesn't quite work as expected. Some important people get upset along the way, or the final result falls short of expectations, if it gets delivered at all. Often, several of these unfortunate circumstances happen, and then the project that we thought in the beginning would be great turns into a really dark cloud of dirt that hovers around us like Pigpen and Peanuts.
This was the first place I started laughing hysterically.
Oh, good. Oh, good. That's my hope, is that people find it to be a lighthearted read.
Oh, okay. It's so good.
So even some of the biggest, best-known brands have experienced epic project failures. Software glitches have been blamed for releasing prisoners early. Construction projects notoriously take too long, cost too much, and are disruptive as all get out. But why and how does project failure happen? Did you know that lack of proper management support is a top reason for project failure? A survey of 70 professional engineers suggests that there are at least a dozen distinct explanations for projects that flop with a capital F. The respondents were presented with 70 reasons for project failure, asked to rate each reason by its importance as a cause of failure, and to select the 5 most important reasons. They found that the top 3 reasons for project failure were 1. The project was not adequately defined at the beginning. 2. The project manager was incompetent. 3. There was a lack of clearly defined project goals and objectives. These top 3 can be eliminated by leaders engaged to define the project clearly and assign the right project manager in the beginning of the project. Additionally, lack of support and involvement of top management was specifically identified as another top reason for failure. Indeed, even if leaders do a good job addressing the top 3 reasons for failure at the start of the project, mm-hmm. they can't then wave a magic wand and say, make it so and let me know when it's done, and then exit stage left and disappear. They need to remain engaged throughout the entire project. Since support and involvement are 2 different things, let's unpack them a bit.
You see the chills, everyone? I'm sure the impact drivers listening are like, oh my gosh, this is my world, right? So what a great way to just help people understand that this book is really about solving that very problem. And it does so, so well.
Yeah. And I was just talking with a client that said, how can we help our sponsors and executives understand how they cannot just disappear? Mm-hmm. They need to be engaged the entire time. And I was like, I wish my book was out already because I would just send you 10 copies, you know?
I know. Trust me, I know.
But we're going to get there. You know, we're going to get there with them.
So, Dawn, I know that the impact drivers are listening to this going, all right, so this is totally my world. So what advice do you have for them if they find themselves in this situation?
So the first thing is to recognize who in your organization is a good actor. Like, they get it. They're a good sponsor, right? Mm-hmm. Good at steering team member, and please praise them. Please let them know that they're doing it right and that you appreciate them. And look out for those people that might be struggling and realize, you know, they're not professional project people. They just probably don't know any better. And maybe sit down with them and talk to them about the role. We have some bonuses that come with the book to help talk about, you know, the role and, let's say, the top 10 sponsor responsibilities, for example, the top 5 for steering team members and so forth. So if you don't have those yet for your organizations to really outline what is expected in these critical roles, the leadership roles, and even in the team roles and team lead roles, because the team leads and team members also are magically supposed to know how to work in project land. And they often don't because they have day jobs and they operate differently in those too. So I would suggest that impact drivers just think about, how's it going for people? If you try to put yourself in their shoes, how do you feel that they're feeling about their confidence level in how to be great in project land? And then figure out how to help them with that, you know, because that's, you know, tools don't do it. People do it. People make projects successful. So this is critical for impact drivers to get.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I was just thinking about, as you were saying that, I was thinking about how I really, I can't wait until I have physical books so I can buy a whole bunch of them. I'm giving them to my whole team. I'm already thinking about how I just had a conversation today with my project manager for our internal projects and my operations manager, talking through the differences in the roles and who's doing what and how, you know, the functional manager, who's probably going to be listening to this podcast before it ever comes out, Corinne, shout out, love you so much. She has the team and managing all the resources, but then my project manager is going to be Kelsey. She's going to be helping to manage a lot of these projects that we're doing internally, like a big software, you know, implementation and, you know, our book launch and all these other things. Well, the resources all report to Corinne, and Kelsey's going to be trying to help make sure that they get all this project work done. So it's really important that you clarify the roles up front and that everybody knows what everyone's supposed to be doing and all that. So we were just going through all of that this morning. So it happens no matter how big or small your company is. And the bigger, the more likely there are people that aren't even familiar with project management. So this is so good. So good. Okay. I have more questions for you. Let's keep going. Okay. So we have a whole chapter in this book dedicated to introducing stakeholders. And then another one that talks about them. Now, you know that I like to talk about the lovers, the haters, and the just don't cares. And, you know, that's part of like how we categorize the different players in the world of PMO and strategy delivery. But the same applies to projects. Can you talk about the players in project land and the character avatars that you have to go with them? Because this is so fun.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes. So in addition to the leadership team of a project and the team members in the project, we talk about stakeholders because these people can make or break your project too. And so what I loved about your program with the lovers, the haters, and the don't cares was I was like, oh my gosh, we are so on the same page. I call them cheerleaders. So these are the lovers, the people who love your project. They're cheering you on. They've been wanting this project for years or whatever. And so I have animal avatars for every single one of the players in Project Land, including them. So the animal avatar for the cheerleader is the happy dog.
Yes. Because, you 100%.
Know, all right. When you have a happy dog and you go away for 5 minutes and you come back, they're like, you're the best person ever. They missed you so much. Right. They're so happy to see you. But the thing with cheerleaders and happy dogs is they can also get underfoot. They can also, you have to manage their energy to make sure that they don't get in the way, right?
Yeah, so
and
good.
So I have a story about this client that I call Gabby, because this happens all the time, that is a cheerleader and she fouls it up. So, what can happen in projects? And so anybody that's also a stakeholder on a project that wants to be a great stakeholder can understand what's up with that too. Okay, so that cheerleaders are the happy dogs. So the haters, so you have the lovers, the haters, and the don't cares. The haters, which is actually what my college students call these guys, are the saboteurs.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the animal avatar for the saboteur is the snake.
Ah, yep.
Right? So if you are, if you're walking a path near Whistling Dixie and you're walking a path and you are, not careful, one of these suckers can jump up and bite you in the ankle.
Uh-huh.
And in the South, that could be deadly. So, so I have definitely had situations where there were people, and I know in very nice organizations, maybe where you work, this would never happen. But
Never.
But in many organizations, there are people who are threatened by the project. They're threatened by the leader. They are afraid of what the change is going to bring, that it might impact their jobs in a negative way. Or that maybe it will expose them because maybe they haven't been doing a great job and it will expose that. So I've definitely seen it. And so understanding who your saboteurs could be on a project is critical to making sure that you can manage that potential situation. And then the third one, the don't cares, these are what I call finicky fans. After 20 years of athletic fandom in Philadelphia, I definitely met some finicky fans, and our animal avatar is the flamingo.
Yes. The flamingo. Well, it's us Floridians. We get to go see real flamingos.
Yeah, I had to include, the finicky flamingo because they flock together and they're super finicky with their diets. So to stay beautiful, they have to eat that wonderful shrimp and the diets and so forth. So these folks squawk. They might be squawking and you need to get them to be closer to the cheerleaders and keep them away from the saboteurs. So there are strategies in the book about it. I try to make it fun and use animal avatars because that just makes it a little bit more fun. Some people thought it was, I was afraid people would think it was goofy. And then Udemy called and was like, hey, would you consider being our expert to work with us to create a new course for our business platform? And I was like, can I use animal avatars? And they were like, what do you mean? And I thought, uh-oh. And so I went through with them and they were like, we love them. And so I was so grateful, Laura, because they gave me the courage to expose the animal avatars to the world and then include them in this book. So I'm really grateful to them for that.
Yeah. And it's so cute. It just makes it even more fun to read. So I'm a little jealous. But as I just told you today, I can't go back and add any animals into my book because we're at proofreading stage and they have told me I'm not allowed to make any more changes. So, maybe we're here and there, but that's it.
You can always visit and borrow my zoo anytime you want.
Girl, I feel like we're living in a zoo together. So.
Writing books is a zoo. It's a zoo.
Yeah, for sure. So I love it. And it just makes it such an easy read. And I think it helps people visualize these characters without it having to be personalized to the people in their organization that they're probably also visualizing, especially when it comes to the snakes and flamingos. So I think it's great. Which, by the way, that's a dangerous combination. So,
right?
It is. My goodness. Okay, so I was hoping maybe we could talk about, PMO and strategy delivery leaders that are running the biggest projects or overseeing the biggest projects in their organization. But there's a lot of other smaller projects happening in the organization that are also happening, but not really maybe necessarily under the purview of like
the program managers or the project managers. They may just be ones that are like, oh, don't mind us over here in our business unit doing this thing that's, by the way, eating up bunches of resources and taking too long because we're not really sure how to do it, all that. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what you offer in the last part of the book to help especially those folks that are, you know, need to know how to get the team moving in the right direction, but they don't have the experience that the more senior professional project and program managers have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wrote this part. I'm trying to create all the things I wish I had when I was a Fortune 500 PMO leader.
For sure.
Right? Because we were running the biggest, hairiest, scariest projects and people were coming to us, which I loved, and saying, hey, can you help us too? Can you guide us? Because, you know, it might not be the $1 million projects, but, you know, these projects are important to us. We want them to be successful. And I was like, I don't have the bandwidth, you know,
right.
Didn't have the bandwidth at the time. So what this can do is, you know, this book and the resources that come with it and can help them step by step figure out how do they decide who they need for their project?
Mm-hmm.
What's the structure of the resources, all the creatures that they need, right, to make their project successful, how to organize them, how to recruit them, because sometimes we have to recruit resources even on those projects. They might not, you know, if they have a project that's cross-functional, they might not realize, oh, they have to actually go, who they have to go talk to make sure that they get the resource assigned and allocated to their project. Otherwise,
right.
Project can super stall because the person's like, wait, what? You want me to do what? I don't have time, right?
Right.
So we talk about recruiting, how to do that. I give them that language to speak to. We talk about how teaming is a process because people don't understand forming, storming, norming, performing if they've
right.
never seen it before and how that can impact them. And we talk about how to get a kickoff meeting together and even do planning workshops in the beginning of the project. So this book, the third part is really about, okay, how do you get people on board and get them rowing in the same direction?
Oh, that's so good. So this is like the PMO leader's dream, right? Because it's often the case where the projects that are getting all the attention, people are saying, well, why can't my resources get this stuff moving forward? And it's all these other death by a thousand baby projects, right? It's all these other projects with people that don't know how to manage them well, how to resource them, how to plan things, how to ask for the right resources, the right amount of time, et cetera. And it's those projects that tend to, you know, suck resource and focus away from those bigger things that the PMO might be overseeing, for example. So it is in your best interest, Impact Driver, as you're listening to this, you need to get this book in your hands and these resources as soon as possible so that you can teach the rest of the people that are doing project work in project land that don't even know they're in project land some basics without overwhelming them, without throwing the pin buck at them, without, you know, they don't need to be certified to understand how project land works. And this is a fun and easy way to do that. So Dawn, do you have a tip for people as to what they can do to maybe pull stuff together, pull people together, how to get started before they can get this book in their hands? Any advice to give people listening today?
Yeah, we have the Udemy course, which has 5-minute videos. And including Welcome to Project Land is a 5-minute video, including Meet the Players in Project Land as a 5-minute video, including so the roles get explained in there. So one way, if your organization has Udemy Business, then you have access to it for free.
Nice.
Ready. And so you can go get that. It's called Smart Tips, Project Management and Agile. I'm the co-creator with Sam. So that wasn't me in my basement. It was filmed by the pros at Udemy, which was so cool. And so that's one way. And so how some mentors are using it is they will show a video and then they'll host a discussion.
Perfect.
So it's a 5-minute video. It's, you know, fun. It explains things in an easy way. And then they'll host a discussion about it. So that's
nice.
That's one thing you can do. And as part of the resources that will come with the book too, will include, you know, videos and things that help impact drivers to not have to spend a lot of time with these folks because they have bigger, hairier, scarier projects to focus on.
Love it. Love it. Okay. So everybody listening to this podcast needs to get this book. Dawn, can you tell them where they can get this book and when?
Yes. So please go to our new division, which is projectgurupress.com, projectgurupress.com, and you'll be able to find it there.
Wonderful. So that's Project Guru Press, because this is the publishing company that is managing all of these books, because there's more to come, baby. This is just book. This is just the first book. We got a lot more coming in Project Land soon. So just go to projectgurupress.com and you will find the book and how to get it and all kinds of goodies that will be coming as this book is live in a few weeks. It's right around the corner, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So our goal is, and because I love numbers, former math major, can't get away from it. So 4/24/2024. So 4/24.
Nice.
That's our goal, to get it out by then. But when this podcast comes out, it should be up for pre-order on Amazon.
Yes. And so you want to go pre-order, and then you will be the first to have it in your hands and start being able to benefit from being able to explain Project Land to your players in Project Land that don't even know that they're a part of the game. Great. So I think that'll be super helpful. Dawn, it's been an absolute pleasure. I just adore you. I'm so grateful that we get to work together, be friends, hang out together, and, you know, help clients make a big impact together. So I am so grateful that you're here with me on this podcast. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for allowing me to share about your book. And for all of you listening today, definitely go grab a copy of it, projectgurupress.com. And I can't wait to hear what you think as soon as that book is in your hands. Dawn, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Laura, so much. Thanks for all of your encouragement and support throughout this whole journey. What a project this is.
Oh, gosh. The hardest one I think I've ever done. So I can definitely relate. Thank you for being my book buddy. All right, Impact Driver, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for being here. Go grab this fantastic book about Project Land so that you can go teach your organization and the people in it how to play their role well in Project Land. All right, I'll see you next week. Bye-bye for now.